So I'd like to begin the homily this Sunday with a story of a little boy whose father was the vice president of a bank. And it so happens that this vice president of the bank was going to have the president of the bank over to his home for a meal, for dinner. And so the vice president sat down with his wife and planned out the menu and tried to get it everything just so, and the dessert and everything. And then he sat down with his little son. They had one son, and he instructed his son, you know, we have a very important man coming over for dinner. And he taught him the fork and spoon are on the right side, the fork is on the left, the spoon and knife are on the right. Keep your water right here, put the napkin on your lap, and all this proper decor for this very important visitor. And the day came, and the president arrived, and he was rather loud, somewhat belligerent. He was making jokes that were somewhat offensive to the sensibilities of this man's wife. And he was laughing at his own jokes, and they finally came to the point where it was time to sit down and have dinner. So they did, and they're sitting there, and the little boy was in his part of the table there, and he looked at the man and he said, "My dad told me you're a self-made man." And the president of the bank said, "Why, that's true, my son." He was kind of proud of that. And the little boy said, "Well, why did you make yourself like this?" I'm sure the vice president turned several shades of red at that point. You know, we have been, believe it or not, we have been engaged since the mid-19th century in a project to redesign human nature after our image and likeness. It began with Karl Marx. I don't know how many of his writings maybe you've read, but Marx's whole project was aimed at reinventing human nature. And part of what he saw as necessary in order for this remake to happen is a number of things, actually, he did see. But in 1848, he came out with this book in German, Das Kapital, which was against capitalism. So he's an economist. He's thinking in terms of rethinking economy and structure of economy. And in the process, he's also rethinking about remaking human nature. The new's coming in, the old has got to go away, and that includes religion. Now, we have been living with Marxist ideology now for a long time. It's now become reiterated in our culture as wokeism. Wokeism is just another form of Marxist ideology. And they have a lot in common. One of the things that's maybe more prominent in this refashioning of human nature is they had to get at the primary institution where that formation was taking place, and that is the family. And sure enough, Marx and also Frederick Engels, they went and they basically dismantled the family. And here was the, and I'm not making this up, by the way, this is in their writings. So here's how the family was interpreted by Karl Marx, and especially Frederick Engels. "The family is an institution invented by men to oppress women. Monogamy was invented by men to keep the woman monogamous to the man so that the man knew who his children were with this particular woman. And then he would get all the property rights." So it was all about economics for Marx. He gets all the inheritance because this woman was faithful only to him. These are my kids. I've got the wealth. and it's all coming to me, and I'll hand it on to the family. I've got the inheritance. And of course, the woman was kept monogamous, but the man was free to mess around. He could have as many partners as he wanted to. And that's the interpretation Marx gave to monogamy. It was invented by men to keep women monogamous while men could have multiple partners. But these kids, I know they're the inheritors. I'm the one that gets the inheritance, and I'll pass it on to them. All right. So what do we need to do? We need to liberate women from this oppressive structure of this monogamy that was invented by men by liberating them to become as equally promiscuous as the men are. And of course, Marx's interpretation, his mind, he sees that and he says, now the men are going to get nervous. Why? Because the women can have multiple partners and they know who the children belong to because they're all hers. So now she gets the inheritance instead of him. And that's why men get angry and all this sort of thing when women start to want to get liberated. It's a raw interpretation of the sack of marriage, basically. And so they began to dismantle it. By the time Lenin in Soviet Russia got a hold of Friedrich Engels, that was, and I'm not making this up, this is historical record. Friedrich Engels' books and writings were the map for his social reconstruction of Soviet Russia during the Russian Revolution of 1917. By 1921, the family was outlawed in the new state that was, for the first time in the history of the world, a communist state. They outlawed marriage. Now, within about 18 months, they backtracked because all these kids were becoming wards of the state, and they said, oh boy, we can't quite do this. So they loosely created the marriage again in terms of legal rights and put it back in place because they said, hey, one of the two of you has to be responsible for these kids because we can't do this. We can't raise them all. But this is something else about the family, and see, wokeism is attempting to destroy the family. It is. It's the same thing. The family today is under assault in so many ways. And that's what they hold in common. But see, the other thing that breaking down the family does that ultimately served the purpose, especially of communist Soviet Union, is when you get the mediating structure of the family out of the way, the state has straight access to your kids. And they can, all their propaganda, they can give it to them straight. As long as the family is out of the way, we have straight access to the kids. And that's what they want. Remember Hitler Youth? Same thing. Hitler Youth. The Maoist Cultural Revolution, again, I'm not pulling this out of the air, this is all historical fact. Anyone in the way was killed to the tune of millions of people. You want to maintain a family? You're not allowed. And if you don't cooperate with us, we're going to wipe you out. Out with the old, in with the new. The new is, we as a state want complete access to your kids. And if at five we see an athlete that's going to serve us well in the Olympics in about 15 years, we take them from you and we start forming them into athletes. That's what China does. They feel perfectly fine to do that. Now see, that's another reason why even our nation right now is taking an interest in wokeism, because the government will, with the family out of the way, have no mediating structure between itself and your kids. And they can have complete access to you by way of their propaganda in the public school system. And this is what's happening. So if you feel yourself as a family under assault, it's because you are. That's what's happening today. And there's a lot of people that are steering clear of the family because it's getting such a bad rap in the culture that why would I want to get married? We can just live together and keep it loose and don't worry about it. Why do you want to get all this concerned about marriage? And yeah, see, this is what we're doing. Now, one of the difficulties in that, and Pope John Paul II saw this because he grew up under Nazi Poland, and then later, after World War II, he grew up under Soviet-occupied Poland, both very dictatorial governments and also communists. Well, socialist, on the case of Hitler, it was a little different variety, fascism, but it still had this states, we're going to raise your kids. And see, John Paul, it's amazing, out the gate when he became Pope in 78, in just 2 years, if you look at the record of what he did, he was out the gate attempting to strengthen the Catholic family. Because he saw that in the governments that he grew up under, that's what they tried to do, was assault and destroy the family so there'd be no mediating structure between the state and the kids. Nothing in the way. Because he said it, he put it this way, and it's true. The entire human race passes through the family. Okay, it takes a mom and a dad. Now, once the child is born, What's there? That becomes the question. What's going to be there for that child? And see, for John Paul, what he was most concerned about was strengthening the Catholic family so that the faith could be handed down for the next generations. Because the family is where the faith is first learned. The Second Vatican Council said that mom and dad are the first teachers of the faith to their children. It gets handed down. And yes, we have Catholic schools, but they can't replace the family. And they don't. So today we have First Holy Communicants here, and they're going to receive Jesus as young little kids. Now, do we say after that it's cute and they kind of graduate from Jesus after that? Is that how we view this? Or are these the first steps? That all depends on what you think of Jesus. And so today's gospel is kind of like calling us to be honest about it. Let your no mean no and your yes mean yes. If you're going to say no to Jesus, say no. It's not like we are free. And if you say no, please don't turn to me with a real sincere face like we're on good terms. Let your no mean no. And let your yes mean yes. And see, this is what the gospel is a call to. And that becomes the challenge, I think, of the gospel today, because I don't know where you are with Jesus. I can't say for sure. I mean, I can stand up here till I'm blue in the face and tell you about who I meet when I come to Jesus, but it means nothing if you haven't yet come to Jesus or been honest about what do I think about him, like, we got to start somewhere. When I see Jesus, do I think of a mother screaming at me, maybe? Do I think of a strict father who's coming at me with his finger wagging? He's shaming me for being such a bad girl or a bad boy? I don't know. What do you see? What do you see in him? You got to start somewhere. With the hope that your faith will eventually break through to who he is. That's the most important moment in the Catholic life, is when your faith breaks through the clouds enough that you encounter him and let him speak for himself. Let him represent himself to you. as what he is. That's a very important moment, and that's what faith gives us. Let him speak for himself. Instead of me interpreting him through my experience of maybe some bad things that happened in the past. They happen to us all. We're in a fallen world. A good family can help strengthen the possibility that that's going to take on life, but we're living in a culture today where the family is, it's under a lot of assault right now, and it's tough. It's tough. It's really tough. But not impossible, because the family of God cannot be destroyed. So, who is Jesus for you? Who is he? You got to start somewhere. That's all. I'm not asking you to give me an academic treatise. I mean, personally, when you go to prayer, oh, he's just someone that ignores me. Okay, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. He's someone that seems to not agree with me very much. Got to start somewhere. You got to just start where you are. You can't start where you're not. Well, I should be here, but you're not. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. It's got to start there. It's got to be that honest, simple. And the thing that I think we'll find is when you do finally say yes, like, he is just like, I mean, the hand is there already. It's there. And what you're saying is, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I get so tired and weary that I'm getting belligerent, like that vice, like that president of the bank. I'm becoming self-made instead of allowing you to refashion me, remake me, convert me, draw me in, heal me, restore me, bring me back to life. And that's what we need. We need him to revive us in life. You know, it really is a truth of life. Hurting people hurt people. Caring people count. In a world where we can be anything we want, and that's true today, we can be anything we want. Be kind. May God bless you.